Even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you got any more headlines? Hour two, kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. What do you got, Cody Mack?
Thanks, John. Tiger Woods is meeting.
You're welcome.
Tiger Woods is meeting today with other players to discuss this whole PGA Live situation. Is that how you say that? I've been seeing that on the internet now for weeks, and
yeah.
I don't know. Is it Live Golf?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tiger Woods is scheduled to meet with several of the top golfers in the world today in an effort to rally support around the PGA Tour and its ongoing battle with the rival Live Golf.
Do you have any takes on Live Golf?
What's the deal with it? Is it
what's the deal with Live Golf?
I heard it's like a right-wing golf organization or something, and they
I don't know if that
or the Saudi Arabia money or something.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't think right-wing is fair because I do know a lot of Republicans who hate the 54 Tour. I call it the 54 Tour. Live Roman numerals. They play 54 holes. That's what I call it, and it rhymes. But I think it's Live.
So Republicans don't like it.
Well, then Trump. They hosted them
at
his course, and then I don't know if that like confused the Republicans or what. I don't know. I don't think it's really a right or left issue. I think it's just like, do you love the PGA Tour?
So what's it matter? Is it
because the people who left for this tour can no longer play in PGA Tour events, and they all left, and they're getting like they're getting basically there is it's called sports washing is the term that's being phrased like Saudi Arabia. I believe you. Yeah, you were around when that happened. Like whenever they started paying the WWE to come do like shows there, we watched one in here. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and people have a problem with that.
Yeah,
because
like
it's blood money or something.
Yeah, because Saudi Arabia is basically paying these sports people a bunch of money to come and like represent their country and like try to like fix their image. Like, hey, no, we're not beheading journalists, and we don't hate women. Look, we're letting the women wrestle.
Well, yeah. What did those journalists do to deserve to be beheaded? That's the question nobody's asking.
Many people have asked on whether or not, what they did. But, again, I think ultimately it comes down to, for the most part, people just didn't want their golf to be affected is kind of what I think. But a lot of golfers have taken that money and ran, including some big names. And maybe the biggest name, second biggest name, maybe the best golfer to have defected is set to do that, like right now with Cam Smith, the guy who just won the last major that, is always near the top. But is young, a young Australian, funny-looking guy, got a good brand. Then he left to join, Dustin Johnson, who was the other, probably second-best golfer there. And then, of course, Phil's there, the big name. And it just made people mad. So now there's beef between them and the PGA Tour and, like, the 54 Tour golfers wanted to still be able to play the majors. And the current players that are on PGA Tour say they shouldn't be able to, even though two of the majors are considered opens, which means anybody can qualify for them, and they can't really bar people. So I don't know exactly what Tiger Woods is going to be here talking about today.
I hate golf so much. I mean, I like playing golf, but I hate golf.
Do you like playing golf? When have you played golf? When's the last time you played?
I played golf in Nashville, actually, with a couple of friends of mine.
How'd you do?
Better than I thought I was going to do. It took me, like, a few holes. We played 18, which is a lot.
How long did it take you to play it? I'm always
a long time.
Okay,
a long time. And I was like,
5 hours?
What? Can we not just play 9? Like, 18 is kind of an endurance test for me. But by the end of the, or not by the end, more like by like holes 9 through 14 before I really tired out, I was hitting the ball pretty well.
Good.
I was actually pleased with myself.
Okay.
Made par a couple times.
Hey.
We were playing best ball, but
okay.
I still made par. I don't know. I don't like golf culture.
I mean, I don't mind it.
It's arrogant.
I have been fascinated by behind like the psychology of the people that are, on what side they take in this issue between these two tours and, just how angry some people have gotten and things of that nature. I mean, I know it's just kind of disrupted the flow. Cam Smith is, I believe, the second-ranked golfer in the world right now. And he's currently number 3 in the FedEx Cup standings. But he's set to, the rumors are all that he's taking the money and getting a big paycheck to take his talents to the Saudi Tour. They were kind of bullying him on the course last week. We didn't really talk too much about it. But, Scottie Scheffler, walked through his his line when he's getting ready to like set up to putt, which is a no-no. So they're kind of bullying him, and so I guess he withdrew, claiming like some kind of issue, but I don't know if he's actually hurt or just like, hey, I'm tired of dealing with these schmohawks, and they're having a big players-only meeting, and I'm not invited. They're just going to make fun of me, so I'm not going to be there.
My favorite thing in the world is driving by a golf course when a guy's like getting ready to take his swing and just honking right when he's like halfway up, just hit him with the horn.
It's
the best. It is so satisfying.
No, I'd be so angry.
You just made so many listeners mad.
I know I did, but it's up there with the feeling of like, well, you know, the best feelings, like
a nice buffet.
No, I was gonna say like a release, you know, like when, like if you got
a
like
shower, cold shower after a hot day.
If you got to poop really bad and then you finally get to go, like that feeling. That's the feeling I get when I honk at a golfer.
I don't get that feeling when I go number two. Usually, if I really have to go, I'm in there fighting for my life. It's not a
relief. It's not like number one. To me,
yes.
It's almost a pleasureful feeling.
Number one,
like,
yes. Number one, yes. Number two, yeah. Not so much.
I think both. I think when you really, really got to go and you're just like, oh, my God, it almost hurts. And then you're like, oh, finally. And the explosion hits.
For me, relief, yes. Release, no. I'm not getting like a good feeling out of it, but I do like feel at peace that I made it.
I think where we differ here is that every time I have to go, it's an emergency. And I think you're – it sounds like you have regularly scheduled bowel movements, which is what it's supposed to be. So congrats to you for eating better.
On the table today for Tiger Woods and the PGA Tour meeting, apparently there are a couple things are on the table. Major championship boycott. So I guess I read that as if the PGA players are going to boycott the majors.
Huh.
Which would be kind of funny if they did, then like let the LIV guys get a couple of championships and, I guess we'd still acknowledge them as major champions. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you still like... is it Bryson?
No, I'm kind of soured on Bryson. Yeah, he also went. See, I didn't even think about him going to the LIV Tour. He defected too. He got hurt at the beginning of last year and hasn't been very good.
Probably deserved it.
Then to me, the whole him and Brooks Koepka thing just became obviously staged, and I didn't respect that. Still hate Brooks Koepka though. I feel like more people on my side about that now. So I guess I'll call that a
who won the Masters this year? Was it Hideki Matsuyama?
No, that was last year.
He won last year.
Scottie Scheffler, I believe.
Huh. Yeah, let's move on. Barnes & Noble apparently has 50% off books today. We were talking about books yesterday, so if you want to go get some new books.
I think until September 5th,
it's a good time to head to Barnes & Noble.
I get overwhelmed when I go to the bookstore, but I do need some new books. Eventually, I'm going to finish this Waco, and then I got to roll back into a Manson one. Then I want to kind of switch it up. I've been reading a lot of bad stuff. I kind of want to read something positive. But I found the bad stuff more interesting.
It is more interesting. Yeah. I think it's because it tells more of a story about human life than rainbows and butterflies.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, I watched Peaky Blinders.
Did you?
Yeah.
I still haven't finished it. So I watched like the first – you remember how much Rick loved it?
I remember you loved it so much and you're telling me
how great
it was.
I liked it a lot.
And then you didn't even finish it?
Yeah, so like I watched the first five seasons and really liked it and enjoyed it. And then when the actress died, you know, Aunt Paul.
Spoiler, but yeah.
That's not a spoiler. She died in real life.
I didn't know that, though.
Oh.
Well, I finished the show, but I didn't know she died in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then season six, she's not there. And I'm like, wait a second, what happened?
Yeah, she died.
I also didn't know she was married to Damian Lewis.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Guy from, Band of Brothers, and I guess he's in Homeland. He was the main actor in Homeland for a couple seasons. He's in that. It was in Billions for a while, too. Anyway,
so, like, I enjoyed the first five seasons, and then I started watching the last season and made it through, like, three episodes, and for whatever reason, I was just like, just didn't finish it. I don't know. It's not that I wasn't enjoying it. I just didn't. It
wasn't the same without Paul.
It really wasn't. I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
But I do need to finish it. So you like the show as a whole? Or
I gave it a 7, 6.5 out of 10.
Decent show.
Yeah, I came into it expecting more because of how much you loved it. But
did I love it that much?
Yeah, you kept telling me.
I think you're
No, you were always talking about how it was so great. No,
it's the best show.
I did not say it's the best show. Did. Rick was obsessed with
you
it.
You did. But at that point, I don't think you'd watched a couple. I don't think you'd watched a lot of like the classic shows, so maybe it was better. I don't know. But I do remember you always
praising it. I've watched
it.
All the big shows.
Well, but now you have. I don't feel like you had it at this point when you were praising Peaky Blinders. I got a better memory than
I
you.
I definitely watched The Sopranos before I watched Peaky Blinders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about that because I was thinking about, I read a book about the IRA, which was kind of loosely tied into the Peaky Blinders. So I was thinking about that. So I was telling you I watched it. Thought it was fine. Thought Cillian Murphy's awesome. The main character, Tommy. I think he's awesome. The rest of the show.
Cillian?
Yeah. Is it Cillian? What do I call him? Killian? What did I say?
Is it Killian or Cillian?
It's probably Cillian.
It starts with a C, so I think you would think it's Cillian, but it's got to be Killian.
It's probably Killian.
I think it's got to be
Celtic.
Killian.
Killian. It's probably
Celtics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boston Celtics.
Celtics, yeah.
The Celtics are playing the Lakers tonight.
Yeah.
You Bill Russell starting. Yeah. Trey Wallace.
Trey Wallace.
Yeah, never What'd mind. He do? Trey Wallace was. He had a story that I was going to read, but I haven't read it yet. So let's hold off on that one. One other headline. Yeah, Tim Duncan, you know, he was in the Hall of Fame honored in May 2021. He's now set to present his former teammate and longtime friend, Manu Ginobili.
Okay.
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Tim Duncan's going to be the guy who presents him.
Not deserved.
Okay, not a strong
kind of cool. No, I like it. But I feel like the basketball, when is the Basketball Hall of Fame? Like, when's the induction? Is that coming up soon?
These headlines were weak.
I wasn't going to say it. I was trying to help you out. We talked a lot about golf.
I have other good things, but I think I'm saving them. So maybe the Field of Dreams ratings fell.
That's like 50%, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you put the damn Cubs and Reds on there and both teams stink.
Yep.
James Dolan, speaking of stinking, thinking of selling the Knicks and the Rangers.
That is the report.
Do you think James Dolan stinks? I bet he does. I bet he's like a rich guy that just doesn't bathe.
I would say that's probably accurate. But yeah, the report out of there, the rumor is that he's, I guess, making an MSG in Vegas, like doing some type of arena in Vegas, a Madison Square Garden Vegas, I think is kind of what I read. And then when that's done, he's going to sell everything, I guess, retire. I don't know.
Vegas is just such a knockoff. Like, they just, their main attractions are all based on other cities. And why don't you be your own thing, Vegas? You know they can't even have grass there now.
What do you mean?
In Vegas. No more grass. No more grass. Like if you went to Vegas and decided I'm going to build a house, you can no longer have a yard.
Because
of
water?
You have to have rocks.
Because of water or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the Hoover Dam, I guess, is drying up or something. So you have to put rocks in your yard now.
Yeah. I've never thought about it because I would never want to live in Vegas in a house or just live in Vegas in general. Got a trip in a couple weeks to Vegas, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are you going out there for? Wholesome family fun?
Sinning, I guess. I don't know.
It is a good place to sin. Vegas is one of the like only towns where like you can just go into the casino. Like you can, if you go to an open bar, you know how it is. You just sit there alone. Within about 10 minutes, some guy's going to walk up to you and just be like, hey, you need anything? What do you mean?
It actually didn't happen to me. Last time I went was by myself.
It happened to me seven
times.
And
I just sat in the sports book or went and ate at the same sandwich shop every day. It was a perfect trip. I just got to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Not a lot sitting there. Just kind of watched a lot of sports.
I met a guy named Ronald who drove a van around the city. And he had connections.
Go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. New phone line sponsor here at the station. That's right. Whenever you call in, whenever we have guests, they'll be joining us on the Big Orange Philly phone line. Big Orange Philly's is located at 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. A great spot for a quick lunch or burgers and beers with friends after work. You can get delivery via Grubhub as well. Pool, darts, karaoke, and live music on weekends. You want to sing some karaoke there, Cody?
What's that?
Check out the full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. This weekend, also, they are doing a football season kickoff meet and greet. So this Sunday, if you have nothing going on, go take advantage of some food and drink specials, as well as free autographed posters, Princeton fonts, Jabari Davis, Latrell Bumpus, leading the way there for a meet and greet at Big Orange Phillies over on Maynardville Pike. All right, Cam, keep me updated on what's going on in the National Football League.
Well, first week of basically roster cuts start today. I think you can have like 93 or so in camp right now. By 4 p.m. today, you got to cut to 85, so some guys are going to get cut today.
So from 93 to 85, you say?
Yes, and probably not great for some of these guys, like at the Panthers-Patriots joint practice, where they're getting kicked out of practice for fighting. If they're on the edge, that may not help their chances there. But
so the Patriots and Panthers are doing the joint camp and got into a brawl?
Yeah, they've had a couple fights going on, and yeah, players have been getting kicked out. Probably the most notable one was probably Kendrick Bourne, who's still not a huge name, but one of their starting receivers over there got kicked out in the first fight, along with a couple other guys. So yeah, it's a little testy at these camps.
What is this, Super Bowl 38?
Is that the actual number?
It's got to be close.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't think it is close. Is it?
It's got to be close.
I mean, close.
The Super Bowl 40 was Bears and Colts Bears.
I was going to guess Super Bowl 30 like 5. So, I mean,
so that's close.
Not too far off. I mean, like 30.
It was Tom Brady's second one, right?
So that'd been 2003. What number are we at now in Super Bowls? 52?
What did I say, 38?
No, yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were going to be like...
say it was 37.
I'm going to go with 35.
I think 51 was the Falcons one.
What?
No, was that... Am I wrong?
I thought 50 was like maybe the Chiefs 49ers is kind of what I thought.
A lot of years have gone by.
That is accurate. 2022 of them at least.
Let's yeah. See.
And Brady's still playing. Just a Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl. I'm going to say 37. Might have been 36.
Well, now I'm very curious on where we're at. So,
could have been 35.
So LV would be...
This is 56.
50, so we're already at 56. So, yeah, so maybe you're right about the Falcons one being... Yeah, Falcons one was 51.
That one's ingrained in my memory a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's fair.
we're already at 56.
Denver, Carolina was 50. Okay, so Peyton won 50. Did he win 50 and 40? Is that what you're saying?
I think Super Bowl 40 was the Colts and the Bears.
You know what?
I think.
I got to give it to you.
Did you nail it?
Is that
Super Bowl 38.
So I did have it,
you
right?
You did have it right.
And then you tried to talk me out of it, and I said maybe it was 37. Yep. Maybe it was 36.
I'm taking the blame here.
I trusted you.
I will say the way I got wrong is I was four off. I thought, like I said, I thought the Chiefs 49ers were Super Bowl 50, when in fact it was Super Bowl, I guess I'd make it 54. So I was four off, and that's why I thought, like I said, I was down to 33, 34 on that one.
It is weird that I nailed it, because I didn't know it. I just, I thought that would get me in the ballpark, you know.
I'm pretty impressed.
It was just a lucky guess.
Super Bowl 34 is actually the one the Titans lost. I should know that.
To the Rams? 1 yard short of the goal line?
Yeah, that's the only Super Bowl we've lost.
Well, that's good. That's true. A lot of teams have lost way more Super Bowls.
It's true. Like,
so that's good to have only lost one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've not been around that long as a franchise, so.
It's true. It's true.
Did the Oilers ever make the Super Bowl? No.
Not that I know of.
They definitely didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so. They did blow like a 35-point lead one time in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, I do love talking NFL.
Uh-huh.
So what do you want to talk about with the – are we doing that?
Yeah, what do you want to talk about? I was getting set up for the cut date.
Yeah, Zach Wilson having surgery today.
So he came out of his injury best-case scenario, right?
Pretty much.
Over the weekend, I saw him went down, and everyone's like, hey, ACL, ACL, and then it came out. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's just a sprain, and he might not miss any time at all, like when it comes to actual, like, the season.
Yeah, it was very surprising because usually with those non-contact knee injuries, you obviously, assume ACL and think the worst. But, yeah, somehow he got a bone bruise and, like, an MCL sprain or something like that. So they're doing some surgery with that. And, yeah, they think he may only be out like 4 weeks. So they think week one could possibly still be on the table for him. So, yeah, best case scenario pretty much there for the Jets.
It does seem unlikely. That's a
best case scenario for the Jets is a funny phrase. Yeah.
Unless you think Flacco's the guy.
Best case scenario for the Jets is 2 wins.
Typically how that works out.
At least the Giants suck now, too. That's what's so weird about the New York teams. They all suck always. I guess both the baseball teams are good right now, but
Well, we're not right.
Yankees been struggling.
Yeah, I was going to say, Yankees have lost a whole bunch of games. Like
they seem to always do that in the middle of the year.
This time, I want to say, I don't know exactly what the streak is. But
I think it's 11 out of 12.
Yeah, I was going to say 11. I was going to say something like 15 out of the last 20, something like that. Mm-hmm. They've been pretty bad. They've been pretty bad.
I mean, the Mets are usually decent, I guess. But the football teams, I just don't understand. Why are they both so bad?
Giants either win a Super Bowl or they're terrible. That's usually how it works out.
It's been a while since they were good.
I mean, know, but for a team that you aren't wrong. The Giants have been pretty bad for most of our lives, but they have made three Super Bowls and won two of them.
I guess they did make the playoffs in fairly recent memory.
That wasn't that recent. That was 2016, though.
Yeah.
Is that the last one?
That was when,
I mean, that still feels recent.
The last time they made it was when Odell had that terrible game and they went on the boat, right?
Yeah.
And they parted on the boat.
And then it just completely fell apart.
That just shot, like, that was their football karma.
Yeah.
Just,
that was it.
You want to go on a boat ride? Fine.
That was 2016.
Strike you dead for years.
That was the end of the 2016 season. 2017 playoffs is when that was.
Jets have not been good in my lifetime, I don't think.
They made back-to-back AFC championships.
Sanchez.
With Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't win either one of them.
Wasn't Brady hurt or something?
No, the year Brady was hurt was the year that Brett Favre was there for the Jets.
Okay. Brett Favre was on the Jets?
Yeah, I just remember because they were the ones that ended the Titans undefeated streak.
When was that?
That had been 2008.
That was after the Vikings? Brett Favre?
Well, it'd been 2008 is whenever Brady got hurt at the beginning of the year.
So Brett Favre hung around way too long.
Yeah, he went to the Vikings. He went to the Vikings, had a good year. Well, he went from the Jets to the Vikings. He went Packers, Jets, Vikings. The Packers wouldn't trade him to the Vikings because they're division rivals. So he went to the Jets for 2 years and then went to the Vikings.
I must have missed Brett Favre's run with the Jets.
Maybe just 1 year with the Jets and then ended up with the Vikings.
I must have missed that. If you ask me, did Brett Favre play for the Jets, I would say no.
Did Brett Favre play for the Jets?
No.
I just told you he did.
Well, I know now, but I'm saying if you had asked me before this segment, I would have said absolutely not. He never played for the Jets.
2008, they went 9-7. Like I said, they beat the Titans. They beat the hell out of the Titans in Nashville one Sunday whenever the Titans were like 11-0. That's the reason I remember.
Tends to happen when the Titans host a playoff game.
Wasn't a playoff game, Schmohawk. It was just a regular season game.
Oh.
Went 9-7, and then then it went to the Vikings. That was the year they went 12-4 and got bountied by the Saints, and they beat the hell out of Brett Favre. That NFC Championship game, he threw the interception to lose it. And then the next year, they were pretty terrible, and he didn't make it through the whole year, and that was it. He retired. But to answer your question, the Jets did go to the AFC Championship twice, back-to-back years. Pretty sure, like, Mark Sanchez, I want to say I'm positive, Mark Sanchez went into Indianapolis and beat Peyton Manning in a playoff game, which is kind of sad.
I don't think those years should count, really. I mean, like, if for 20 years or 25 years you're not good, I don't think you get to count, like, the one good year, two good years.
Two good years. Then, yeah, they haven't made the playoffs since.
I would rather just say the Jets have never been good in my lifetime.
Okay.
That seems to cover the general point.
I'll allow it. Because the year they went to the conference championship, they still finished second in the division and went 11-5, so I don't know how good they actually were. Mm-hmm. But that was like the first 2 years Rex Ryan was there, and Rex Ryan was pretty good, and everyone thought Rex Ryan like was going to be a really good coach, and then he was fired.
Defense was elite. Revis was locking it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Was
Cromartie there with Revis at the same time? Was that the same time?
Yeah, I think
they
did have it at the same time, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. Remember Vinny Testaverde?
I do remember Vinny Testaverde, actually.
Yeah. I remember playing with him on NFL Game Day 2002.
I want to say that year they were also good in 98. I remember that. They were 12-4. I want to say that Vinny Testaverde is the reason that the NFL changed the review rules. And I want to say that I remember distinctly from my childhood, the last game of 1998, Vinny Testaverde tried either a quarterback sneak or a quarterback draw, and he was clearly stopped short of the goal line, and they ruled it a touchdown. Mm. And that game knocked – I want to say maybe the Colts or it was whoever. Some team got knocked out of the playoffs because of that. So then the next year they put in the rule that you could challenge plays because it was so short. He was so clearly not in the goal, like in the end zone, that they were like, we got to fix this because his officiating is swinging things now. Our cameras are good enough. We're going to allow you to do instant replay.
How Italian was Vinny Testaverde?
His name is Vinny and
Testaverde. Because he sounds pretty Italian. Yeah. Have you ever heard an interview with him or anything? I don't think I've ever heard him speak, but he seems like he would be very Italian.
more or less Italian than Mangini.
Mangini, Eric Mangini?
Yeah.
Then you got Mark Mangino.
Yeah.
He ate Eric Mangini. You know, the Jets were also Osama bin Laden's favorite NFL team.
Back to the well, huh, with that.
Oh, have I said that before?
No, just yesterday it was about the Taliban, and you're back to the.
I just heard that joke when I was like a kid. Somebody said, "You know who Osama bin Laden's favorite NFL team is?" They said the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Can't remember who told me that one. I was a kid when I heard it. I didn't get it for years.
It's nice of him to go around telling a kid that.
Yeah.
So that was a segment about the mid 2000 New York Jets. We're gonna break. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. At the end of hour one, I told you about Tennessee football landing a big recruit, Jordan Matthews, going down into Baton Rouge and pulling out a stud. Mm-hmm. Basketball team did the same thing this morning. Basketball team got them a guy that is rising up the rankings that, quite frankly, a lot of people think could be a five-star by the time the next rankings come out in the class of 2023 as Freddie, I don't know how to pronounce his name, DeLeon? D-I-L-I-O-N-E? Is it? How would you pronounce that?
D-I-L-I-O-N-E?
Yeah.
Dilly One.
Dilly One?
That's Dilly One.
Freddie Dilly One.
Freddie Dilly One.
I don't think it's Dilly One.
It's got to be DeLeone. DeLeone. It must be Italian. If it ends in the vowel, it's Italian.
Yeah.
DeLeone. DeLeone. That's how you pronounce it.
It's Federico? You think his name's like, you think Freddie's short
Federico
for
Federico DeLeone.
You think Freddie is short for Federico?
Don't you love how you can do Italian accents with impunity and you don't, it's not ever racist? Like you can just say
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia. Oh, Madonna.
I'm quoting movies. So just all you gotta say is like I was quoting a movie.
Oh, my boy Anthony. It's the best. Watching The Sopranos again.
Yeah, season you on?
Middle of two. I'm watching with my friend who's never seen it.
Oh, nice.
And my other friend has never seen it, and my other friend has also never seen it. So we're kind of watching together.
Four of you are watching separate. Like you're watching it with one guy, and the rest of you are watching it and talking about it. Or
the one friend's watching kind of by himself. He's ahead of everybody, and so it's hard to. He's seen things happen now that other friend hasn't seen. Of course, I know everything that happens because I've rewatched it like
so
twice.
Start spoiling things.
No, that's not cool because I know that you do that based on experience.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you missed it one time.
It's just so good of a show. What did I miss?
Hayden tried to do that to Charlie on a show, and Charlie got up and was on the verge of tears and left.
I could see Charlie crying
it was more like angry tears. I don't want to act like he was sad. It was like angry tears. Like he left to remove himself out of the situation so he didn't whip Hayden's ass. He got really mad and left. He got up and left. He stormed out and like didn't talk to him for a while.
Charlie, I think, is one of the sweetest.
He is.
Guys I've ever met. Do you think he would actually beat up Hayden? I know he could if he wanted to.
He was pretty
bad. I think he could beat anyone in here if he wanted to.
He's a big old boy.
Charlie's big.
He's
man.
A big old boy.
He's big.
He is a big old boy. A lot of wasted size there.
He just doesn't have the mean streak in him, I don't think.
I can't imagine him being a very good lineman. He was just smiling the whole time and just cheesing. No chuckles over there.
Great guy, though.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. But he got up, and that's how disappointed he was in Hayden. He just got up and left.
What show was it?
Ozark.
Oh. Did you like that?
I thought it was fun.
Did you think it was elite?
It was no, I thought it was good.
That's what I thought.
Better than fine. I would probably, I told you I would give Peaky Blinders like a 6.5. I'd probably give Ozark a 7.
Yeah, Ozark always kind of depressed me because it was just
dark.
It was dark. The whole
visually,
show.
Visually, it was dark.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That's what I always told people. Like, it took me forever to finish it because there's no sunny days on Ozark.
Even when they're on the lake,
it's still cloudy.
Yeah, even on the lake, still cloudy.
It's something to do with the way it was shot, yeah. I guess. The cinema, it was dark.
And it was also dark in terms of reality.
Maybe they did that on purpose.
Probably. Yeah. I would say it wasn't an accident.
Yeah, probably so. But
I'm imagining somebody that was watching it screams like, hey, guys, it's a little dark. Can we get a little light in here? He's like, no, it's fun.
Wasn't as dark as Game of Thrones.
The last season.
Yeah.
Last episode.
Yeah.
Then the director came out and just told everybody to get better TVs, cut on Broke Boys.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought everybody was on 4K by now.
Freddie DeLeon.
DeLeon.
A top 100 player. a four-star combo guard, 6'4", out of Raleigh, North Carolina, commits to Tennessee today. I think he was going to wait for a while, but then like it just started leaking. Like everyone, I guess, had figured out that, like, hey, he's really blown away by Tennessee, and he's coming to Tennessee. So he just went ahead and made it official as he picks Tennessee over, most notably, Alabama, which I feel like is a pretty big accomplishment whenever, like, we've seen Nate Oates pull a lot of five stars in. Like, we've seen him be a pretty good recruiter. And Rick Barnes was able to get him.
Nate Oates is a guy that if the film quality was not as good today, like if we didn't have HD TVs and you were just watching a basketball game, all he would really need is like a mustache and you would think that the game was in the 70s. Nate Oates just seems like a guy from the 70s.
Is it the big suits?
It's those suits that whatever that fabric or design.
Whenever you say it, it makes sense with the
with
the suits.
Yeah.
Able to beat Nate Oates in Alabama and Forbes and Wake Forest for Freddie DeLeon, which, again, I'll figure out how to say his name eventually.
I think it's just DeLeone.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. DeLeon kind of sounds like the East Tennessee pronunciation, probably.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's probably DeLeone.
Okay. I'll get to the bottom of it.
I think we're there. It's DeLeone.
He's a stud, though. And like I said, he's a guy that everyone talks about rising up in the rankings, and like I said, could be a five-star whenever the new rankings come out. It's a big get in the class of 2023 for Rick Barnes. Still kind of watching now for the JP Estrella. He's set to commit in a couple weeks. He is the 6'10", 6'11" center from up north, northeast. Tennessee trending well for him as well. As of right now, I think Tennessee feels like they're leading for him. So could be adding a couple of big-time players. Estrella is a 54 ranked right now on 247's composite scores. So a high four-star. Could be a nice little class that Barnes is putting together to kind of salvage after, you know, you missed out on some guys to Kentucky, right? You had Kentucky beat you on a couple of guys that you really wanted.
Yep.
And it feels like you're doing a pretty good job of getting some consolation guys. I really like Freddie and the film I've seen on him. I don't want to say like completely lightens the blow on like missing out on Justin Edwards, because that guy's going to be a monster, I think. But again, you're looking at some consolation prizes, and you're doing a pretty good job of it. Mm-hmm. Tennessee now has 2 4-star commitments in the 2023 class between him and Cade Phillips. That's the 6'9" power forward from Missouri.
Really excited to see those guys play in the first weekend of the postseason.
Does that bother you? You still hung up there?
It's starting to bother me, yeah.
It bothers me less.
Less than it did like 3 years ago?
It bothers me less.
It's just, I don't know, man. One Sweet 16 and what is it, 7-8 years now?
Yeah, I mean, it's been SEC championship.
Yeah, and I know you used to always say that the regular season should count for something, and it does.
Regular season's pretty fun. We had 3 monster wins all inside TBA last year. I was there for all 3 of them. We beat Kentucky's ass.
Yeah.
We beat Auburn's ass, and then, you know,
Arizona.
Them too, but Arkansas was what I was thinking down the stretch. But Arizona's a big win too, yeah. I didn't go to that one, but.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was all enjoyable. By the time we got to the tournament, there were people picking us as a national champion, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
But I just, like, you know, I lived with my friend in Nashville the first year from back home.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just kind of felt bad. Like, he's sitting there watching his team get to the Elite Eight. And, like, we would have our – last year we would have our phone calls. And
he
picked us as the champion. Yeah. A lot of people did. I was like, yeah, man, I think we're as good as anybody right now going into this thing. And really then once again, he gets to watch his team go to the Elite Eight, and I'm just sitting there with my – in my hand – and, you know, it's hard when you're not there for it to be as fun. Just the second weekend, even. That's all I really even care. This is a Sweet 16. That team last year should have made the Sweet 16.
I don't want to say that I am disagreeing with the take that I want to get to the second weekend. And it did hurt when we lost to Michigan. I went. Big game. John made the drive out there by himself. It was a lonely drive back the next day. I was pretty upset. Losing to Michigan sucked. I do think it was a bad draw having to play a pretty talented team like Michigan in the second round. Like, they were underseeded due to – I mean, they probably earned that seed, but they were more talented than what your typical second-round matchup will be in that situation.
Yeah, but they were like 17-14.
No, I know. I know. Like, they just had a matchup problem for us. So, like, you know, Hunter Dickinson's one of the best players in the country, and then they had a couple guys that showed up and showed out, and I still remember that little crazy hook shot, running shot that the guy flipped up with a minute and a half left. And we forgot – we just did – a team that was so good at shooting just – forgot how to shoot for a game, and I think that happens in tournament basketball.
I understand all that, and like, but I'm just tired of hearing that because there's always that excuse for Barnes. There's always something. It's always something. Always some reason it didn't go our way, and it's like, well, you know, just one of those days didn't go our way. I mean, there's always something, and I just think a better prepared team with a better coach would find a way to win.
I understand that. I thought Tennessee was really well prepared for, you know, basically all of last year. I just thought that we missed a lot of wide open threes in the game against Michigan. And guys that were hitting them all year, like Santiago was hitting them. And
sure. And it's like the Purdue game 2 years before. It's like, well, that guy was just hot, you know, just couldn't do anything. Well, you got to stop him. You got to slow him down, don't you?
At least in the Purdue game. And, you know, we're talking about Ryan Klein and the way he kind of exceeded, you know, like – you know, came out of nowhere and had that game. And then, of course, we foul at the end of regulation and lose. And I was more angry at Barnes for that game for the way he handled Grant Williams. Like, I didn't give an excuse for that. Like, I looked at Ryan Klein's performance as a, you know, an anomaly, obviously. Like, he wasn't that guy, and then all of a sudden he was that guy, and he was hitting step-back threes over an NBA defender like Grant Williams. That game I was mad about, though, because we fell behind, like, 20 points. Like, don't come out flat. Don't start Grant Williams in overtime on the bench for the first three, like 2 minutes. Like, don't do that. I didn't give Barnes a pass for that one. Oregon State, I didn't give him a pass. I didn't think that team was going to do anything. I just thought that was a terrible offense. And, like, that
wasn't our best team anyway. But
sure. But, like, the Michigan game, I trusted all those guys to hit jumpers. And maybe I just fell in love with them during the season, but, like, I was fine with them shooting shots and they just couldn't make them.
Yeah, they were, what, like 3 of 18 or something? And
yeah.
I understand that. You know, I'm just tired of hearing. The excuses, I guess.
I don't remember the Sister Jean game, and maybe we shouldn't talk about that with you here. But
that old
after you're showing off your Italian accent.
She's still alive. She's still still kicking. Who would have thought 4 years after that?
That
she would still be breathing.
I wonder if the outrage would have been as bad had people known she was going to live for another 4 years.
Probably not.
Yeah,
because they probably thought she was on her last leg.
Yeah,
and, you know, she's going to die at some point, and. When she does, I'm sure that'll get like
recirculated.
I don't think it will. You don't think so?
Nah.
Maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think
it'll probably just be like local people here. They'll
just be tagging you.
Be like four people that'll tag me in.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe
then you'll quote tweet one and say.
I don't know though because like
you'll find it and then it'll all recirculate there maybe. But
I don't know though because last year like tournament time,
you got a couple of
I got DMs like
from haters,
like one or two, yeah, like just people that.
They remembered. That's why you know that they hadn't forgot.
Yeah, it's just which I thought was really weird. It's like, are you gonna? It was something like, are you gonna react this year the way that you did 3 years ago? I'm like, why do you still? Who are you? I don't know.
People don't forget.
Yeah, she's probably forgotten a few things. There's really no reason to attack her.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. You brought it up.
Well, I was just saying the Loyola game. I just felt like that was a heartbreaker that, like, you know, the ball went in and off the rim, and I thought Jordan Bone maybe could have gotten to the rim. I thought he got a good look at the shot, and that was just a tough loss. Mm-hmm. That was a good team, though. Like, I think Loyola was a good team. Like, I didn't view that as, like, a bad upset. That one hurt just because you had the Final Four on a platter if you won that game.
It's just that every team we've lost to was seeded lower than us.
Now, that's fair.
That's just a thing that...
That's fair.
I'm tired of seeing... I think Barnes' time has just run out. You know, that's kind of
what...
I'm just ready for fresh, something fresh. I know what it's going to be with Barnes. It's good to be consistently good.
I loved the regular season last year. The regular season was so fun last year.
Yeah, it was. It was fun going into the tournament, thinking you had a chance to win it, and
that,
then you
that one loss
you flop again though.
So you're saying if they had beaten Michigan,
yep,
then the whole season would have been worth it for you. Just a Sweet 16 would have made it all worth it.
Sometimes a guy's career comes down to a handful of games. Yeah, I will say that.
The one game ruined everything.
I will say that, yes. Sweet 16, I wouldn't have felt as
would you have traded a Sweet 16 for an SEC championship?
The SEC championship was cool.
Right. Would you have traded that?
No. An Elite Eight, I would, though.
So, like Arkansas season?
Yeah. Maybe it's just because my friend, you know, they've had back-to-back Elite Eights.
I think people,
and I'm just.
I don't think people would trade it for the Sweet 16. The Elite Eight, I would say that you might not get as much blowback there. I think people would trade the SEC championship for an Elite Eight.
It's good to have a good program.
But we're on such a drought, though. Final Four, 100%, 1,000%, everyone's saying yes. But, like, we hadn't won an SEC tournament since 79.
I know. It was really cool. I really did enjoy it.
So I don't think people – I think you'd get, like, 50-50 split on that in terms
on
of –
on Elite Eight?
On trading the Elite Eight for the SEC championship.
I don't know.
If you tell me, like, it's always, like, to me, I need the caveat. Do I know that we lose in the Elite Eight?
Yeah.
Then that's a different answer. If you just,
but to be there, like, in that game, say you're playing, like, Duke. I mean, you're playing a major.
But if you tell me we get there and, like, we have a chance to win it, then I might make that trade. Like, if you could take me back in time and I can hit a button and I'm just show up at the Elite Eight game and I don't know how that plays out, I think I take it because you still have a chance to win a national championship. But if you're telling me we lose in the Elite Eight and that's as far as we go and we're not hanging a Final Four banner, I think I'm taking the SEC championship. I've seen an Elite Eight in my lifetime. Only one, and that's the only one in program history, but like I've seen one of those before. It was fun, but I had never seen us win the SEC championship. And I was down there, so it was fun. We
were also so close in that Elite Eight to the Final Four, and so that plays into it, to think you've got a chance to go to the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously.
I'm just ready for something different.
Didn't you just say, like, be careful what you wish for or something like that earlier?
Well, with Bo Pelini.
Changes. Yeah.
This ain't Bo Pelini we're talking about.
It's better.
Bo Pelini's Johnny Bananas compared to this guy.
What Rick Barnes has done is better than what Bo Pelini's done.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. A little bit.
No, a lot better.
Now, a lot better?
Now, does Nebraska miss their
so one fours? Tournament championship is all it takes for you?
We were number one in the country for all. We're a top 10 basketball program since Rick Barnes has been here.
Yeah, that's better than Bo Pelini.
But that was my point.
Okay.
But still, you know, when you tell me how far Nebraska has fallen since Bo Pelini, maybe, like, you know, like you're like Nebraska and you only care about college football, like maybe that changes things. Because, like, you know, they pretty much only care about college football.
Okay, so Rick Barnes then is like, who do you
Mark Rick
Barnes.
Yeah, he's Mark Rick.
Okay.
That's 100% who he is.
Now, no, Mark Rick had decent postseasons.
I mean, he won a Sugar Bowl.
Never seen Barnes win a Sugar Bowl. Barnes would get knocked out in the first quarter of the Sugar Bowl.
That is probably factually correct. But, I mean, I don't think that's ridiculous to say that we've been a top 10 program since Barnes has gotten here, especially like, you know, if you take away the first kind of two, you know, the first throwaway year, the first throwaway years.
Those first couple of years, I don't count against him.
So if you're saying like year three, Rick Barnes on, we've been a top 10 program in college basketball without really any tournament success. I don't think that's.
Yeah, he has pretty good regular seasons. Like I'm confident we'll get it again this year. I'm confident we'll be, you know, whatever, 26-7 or whatever we, you know.
And the brand, I mean, the brand just matters too, I think. I mean, like, I think the brand is well respected too.
I appreciate all that. Good program, solid, ran well, gonna be a winner, consistently worth watching. Just at the end of the day, you remember what happened with Rick.
Yeah. I mean, if you made the change and you told me that you were hiring a Kirby that could get you a national championship, I think people would, you know, roll the dice, but.
Then it can also go the other way.
It can also go the other way.
I would be willing to roll the dice because I don't really care to watch basketball season anyway. Like,
well, that's
if we
what
weren't
say.
Good, I would just find something else to do.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like you're a March Madness only Tennessee basketball fan for the most part.
That's where most people are fans, though. Most casual basketball watchers, that's when it matters.
Yeah, but I think we're above that here in Knoxville.
You might be. I'm not.
Well, when I say we, I don't not just mean me and you. I just mean we do a pretty good job.
We as a fan base are above
that? We
do
a pretty good job of putting 20,000 people inside TBA. That's one of the five or six biggest arenas in the country. Like we.
I just think every Tennessee fan who's a fan of our basketball team has seen it enough times to know how it's going to end. I think that's been proven.
All it takes is one time of not ending that way, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do feel, and maybe I get proven wrong, but I told you yesterday how I felt leaving the Titans-Bengals game. I finally accepted the harsh reality that my team is just never going to win a championship. I don't think Tennessee basketball is going to win a national championship. I don't think the football team is going to win another national championship. I don't think the Titans are winning a Super Bowl. I don't think the Hawks are winning an NBA championship. Sorry, Cam.
That's an interesting prop bet. Like, in your lifetime, will one of your teams win the whole thing?
And then immediately after the Titans lose to the Bengals, the Tennessee baseball team is the best team in baseball history, and then we fall short there, too.
That sucked.
I let myself believe we were going to win a national championship in baseball, and then I'm there in game three as we just get – we fall apart. We're up, you know, two runs, and then next thing you know, you're down.
That's that baseball thing. Like, that was really frustrating because you just knew that was your best shot ever.
And I think that might be my I think I squandered my three best chances since I've been like 11 years old. My three best chances of one of my favorite teams winning a championship in back to back to back postseasons.
Well, the best chance Titans was probably when the Titans were in the Super Bowl.
Well, and right? I said since I'm 11. So, like,
oh, okay.
I mean, the Vols won a championship in my lifetime. Like, I was there, and then in 2001, they probably had a better chance if they had just beaten LSU. I mean, I don't think they would have beaten that Miami.
Saban, you know.
They wouldn't have beaten that Miami team, but, like, you at least would have been playing for a championship.
Would like to see that game.
I don't think I would have.
Well, we had so much talent, though. Wouldn't we have fared better than Eric Crouch's Nebraska?
We would have fared better, but I think we would have lost.
That game was, like, 37-14 or something.
Yeah, I was going to say something like we lose, like, 37-20 or something.
We had Big John Henderson. And
I don't remember.
Haynesworth.
They didn't do much against that third D-line. String. They didn't do much against that third string LSU quarterback. But
okay, Saban.
Saban. Yeah. Saban is better than Larry Coker. I will.
He's
been
a problem from the start.
Saban is better than Larry Coker. I'll give you that. But the Titans at home as the one seed against the team they should have beaten. The basketball team playing against Michigan with, you know, maybe the hottest team in the country. Kenny Chandler was, you know, playing well. Everything was clicking for that basketball team and the baseball team. Of course, number one pretty much all year, clear-cut best team. Those are three pretty hard pills to swallow in a row. And that was after I'd said, like, hey, I'd given up on the idea of my team winning a championship.
What would you set the odds for the rest of your life?
100-1.
No, it's not. It can't be that far, is it?
No, it's realistically not. It's probably close to even money. It'd probably be maybe a 1-2 favorite. It's like
Titans,
-200.
Hawks. Are you counting the Braves?
No, not the Braves. I'm not a Braves fan.
So you're not counting a baseball team? Because that's hurting your odds.
Yeah, I don't have a baseball team.
We'll pick up like the Dodgers.
I had the Reds for a while. I made that realization a lot earlier with them, like in 2014, that they were never going to win anything. And they sold all the players. So like, I'm done with that. Enjoyed watching the Braves win a championship, but that wasn't my title. Like, I didn't get to celebrate. I, you know, watched them and rooted for them, but that wasn't any happiness for me.
I'm just saying, like, you would improve your odds if you pick up a baseball
team. Well, sure. I mean, I've got to watch my Liverpool Reds win a Champions League, but that didn't do nothing for me either.
So, really, you can only count Tennessee, college sports,
Titans,
Hawks.
Titans and Hawks.
And Titans.
And I do like the Hawks close to, you know, basically a similar level as the
Well, when
teams,
do you think you'll die?
Like that also I don't know. That's a part of the gamble.
Who do you think
if
will
I live to
100,
I got a better chance.
Between you and me, who do you think will die first?
Well, no offense, I would think it'd be you.
But I'm younger. I know I'm
you
in worse
younger,
health.
But you're, I don't even mean the worse health, but like you're also just, I feel like you live a little bit more reckless than me.
I don't know about that.
Although, you know, I do got some cancer that runs in my family. It's some high blood pressure. Okay.
I got the cancer and the heart and runs in mine, so.
Yeah. Most of my uncles lived to be like 70-ish. My dad kicked out a little bit earlier than that. But like, I feel like I'm getting to 60.
How's your mom's side? Genetic.
Yeah, she don't have a lot of family, but my grandmother made it to like 85. My grandpa, I want to say, made it into the 70s before having a heart attack.
I have some hope that on my dad's side, his mom, that family, like, there's some longevity.
Yeah,
there.
Both my grannies lived into their 80s, but women last longer, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's say we got.
It's going to be
30 years left.
I mean, I think. I mean, that's a sad realization. I mean,
no, like ideally, say you got
40. I think 30's the. I mean, maybe I'm just being a little morbid, but my dad was 62. Like that's when, like he was, like that's to me, that's kind of the baseline.
Well, let's hope that you
65.
70? Let's give you 75.
Let's go 70.
What's the average age for a male? 76?
Like 70.
I think it's going down.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Okay. Obesity and.
Okay.
Jesus. Like, I'm just going here 70. Now. Like, there's no way I get to 70.
70 is the cutoff. 70 is my cutoff. So 40 years.
40 years. Do you get a championship in 40 years?
I mean, I would like to say yes, but like I've given up on it.
In 2019, it was 76.3. The life expectancy for a guy.
That's pretty good. Cody's got a couple trivia points up between that and the Super Bowl.
I don't think I'll get there.
75.1 in 2020.
Like the Red Sox and Cubs, you know, had their long streaks, or their long droughts of no championships. But at least there were some 70, 80-year-old fans that got to watch the Bulls win and the and the Celtics win a bunch of championships. I'm not getting there, bro. Like, the state of Tennessee, I saw a study a couple of years ago. It's like, they were already, like, I think, number one in terms of titleless droughts for their professional teams. Between the Titans and
pretty
high in
obesity rate, too.
It's all connected. Hour two in the books. Kick off hour three of headlines. Tuesday trivia. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.